I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, and for 2 hours a day, I give you a safe space. If you're an independent thinker out there, beholden to no party, no politician, then this is a nice spot for you. There is a theory out there. I can't remember who popularized this. I don't subscribe to this theory. But there was a theory that when the Spanish went to Central America, where the Aztecs were, they pulled their ships up. Ships came over the horizon, were heading for Aztec land. And the Aztecs looked out there. The idea was, with this theory, that they couldn't even see the ships because they couldn't process what a ship was. I found this to be a little odd. The human mind is pretty fascinating to me in a lot of different areas, so I found it amusing, but I didn't really subscribe to that. I do think, however, that when the ships came, the same story was told about American Indians when Columbus's ships came. Now, we know the Vikings probably made it here before Columbus, but I don't think we're supposed to talk about that. Anyway, when an indigenous people back before international travel saw something approaching and they didn't have the capability to do a large sailing vessel, they couldn't really process what it was. I believe they could physically see it. I don't really subscribe to this idea that it just was invisible to them because their mind couldn't process it. I mean, I think as human beings, we see things all the time we've never seen before. Maybe we're missing a lot of things. It just didn't make sense to me. But I think they couldn't really appreciate the danger of the show. I mean, of the ship. Freudian slip. But it's the mind is just an interesting thing. And I've thought about that, you know, with this show. My show's not dangerous. But I do wonder sometimes if people can't really quite comprehend exactly what I'm doing. I get some interactions with people. Either on the show here, largely by email, or gotten posts or comments or things like that. I think people don't quite understand where I'm coming from on this thing. They can't quite make heads or tails out of a show that doesn't play any favorites, doesn't carry water for the Republican Party on conservative radio. Or I assume there are still some Democrat talk radio shows out there. I think there's a few in Jackson. It is fascinating to me that Democrat and liberal talk radio never really took off. They control the airwaves when it comes to television, but for some reason, they just haven't really staked their claim in talk radio. There's a few national people. But anyway, I always just wonder, sometimes with the interactions I have with people, they don't quite understand it. They believe a criticism of Donald Trump or a criticism of the Republican Party automatically. I see this is the thinking of the indigenous people who don't understand that when a ship is approaching the shore, exactly what that means for them. When people hear me criticize Donald Trump or the Republican Party, they think I have to automatically be a Democrat or a Biden supporter. It's the strength. It like there is no other choice. You can't be critical of the whole political class. Prior to Trump's election, you could kind of do that, but I wasn't on the air then. Unfortunately, I guess I missed the golden age of questioning everything when both parties, Democrats and Republicans, were not only upset with the other side, but they were questioning their own leadership, wanting to get rid of their own establishment. On the left, they were trying to get a Bernie Sanders in there, and on the right, they ended up successfully getting Donald Trump into office. So there was a distrust of the system. A lot of people think that's been fixed now. Donald Trump's been in office for 4 years. It's all good. He's got it under control, and I don't see it that way, and I just wonder. I just wonder if people can quite comprehend, because I just get the feeling that they think you have to be on one side or the other. You cannot be independent. The stakes are too high. I think the stakes are very high. We're going to talk about that next hour. We're going to get into this Klaus Schwab guy with the World Economic Forum. This is the Dr. Evil of our time. He's come out with some other stuff. The guy's put out a book on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And what he foresees for all of us is absolutely science fiction terrifying stuff. And if he was just some lone nut job out there, that'd be one thing. But the World Economic Forum, this is the Davos crowd. And here's where you have to really kind of interpret what this show is about. You have to open your mind a little bit to the idea that you don't have to carry water for one side or the other. You can be pretty much opposed to just bad things, regardless of who does them. The Davos crowd, which is where, you know, Ivanka and Jared Trump love to go. That's their people. Now, of course, it's also the Clintons people and a lot of people who are in American politics go over to Davos, Switzerland and meet with the World Economic Forum. But anyway, I keep seeing these things at a World Economic Forum the Great Reset, the Build Back Better movement that they're trying to. This is the Agenda 2030 stuff. And I mean, I guess it's interesting to entertaining at this point right now. If it's some kind of look at our future, you talk about dystopian. So the stakes are high. If I happen to see somebody on the horizon or somebody that's in office that is going to fix any of this stuff, I'll let you know. I'll fully support them. I don't think Donald Trump's going to fix it. I certainly know Joe Biden's not going to fix it. He's going to put us in a shopping basket and rush us towards things like what we talk about next hour of the World Economic Forum. But anyway, there's a whole land full of indigenous people used to regular old talk radio, and all of a sudden I come on and I just can't quite figure out exactly what are you trying to say. What I'm trying to say is we need to start thinking for ourselves and not relying on politicians and parties. We need to stop falling in love with these people so we can guard our freedoms. But I will say this also, though, you know, regardless of, you know, whether or not you're open to criticism of your favorite politician or your favorite party, if you're open-minded enough to just take in some points, dismiss them if you want to. I'm just asking people to think for themselves. But boy, shouldn't we be grateful for talk radio? You know, when you really look at the landscape, you look at television, you look at newspapers, you look at all the mainstream media, now you look at online, you look at YouTube channels, you look at all these things. Talk radio is one of those things that just seems to still be trudging along, knock on wood. And particularly, I'll tell you right now, at WIAB, I would not be allowed to do the show that I do at most other stations. Many other stations in the central Mississippi market and around the country are essentially propaganda machines for the Republican Party. They take a great deal of money for them. They give a platform to politicians to come on and rally you to their side. And if you like that, then that's fine too. But that's a self-censorship, I would imagine, or maybe they're true believers at those things. But anyway, I appreciate WIAB allowing me the freedom to do something very different here. I would hope that other people would too, just for whether you agree with me or not, or find my show good or bad or dangerous, whatever you think. It is one of the last few little bastions out there where somebody is not canceled and deplatformed because of having some kind of a different idea. And talk radio seems to be the one hanging in there. I'll do my quotes of the day real quick, and then we will come back and start getting into stories of the day. Here's one that I certainly love. This is Larkin Rose. I'm gonna hit you right now with a couple of libertarian quotes here, so just get ready. This is Larkin Rose. He's a kind of a libertarian thinker. He said, "Jesus taught us nonviolence and told you to love your neighbor, but the state encourages you to vote for people who will use the violence of government to butt into every aspect of everyone's life. Which do you believe?" Harry Brown, who was a libertarian candidate for presidency, says, "Libertarians understand a very simple fact of life. Government doesn't work. It can't deliver the mail on time. It doesn't keep our cities safe. It doesn't educate our children properly." And I guess we can add to that now the government at all kinds of levels, the state, the local, and the federal, cannot even run an honest up-and-up election in this country anymore. Probably haven't for decades to varying degrees, but I think we're seeing right now, we'll talk some about elections in this first hour. they have shown that really we can have the faith in institutions in this country. This could be a good thing. It's aggravating. I don't know how this vote stuff turns out, but I would hope that most thinking people, right, left, Republican, Democrat, black, white, young, old, it doesn't matter, your faith in institutions and what our governments have become should be shaken to the ground, and understand that from my point of view, neither one of the current parties or any of the politicians that are on the national scene right now are ever going to fix these things. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the vaccine stuff. I'm going to warn you about another. There's a talking point coming out. I see it forming. It's another one of these senses you can start to develop once you start looking at things from the outside. If you don't get trapped in the red or the blue bubble, if you just become an observer of these things, it is the vaccine is close now, so we can't risk moving about society now. Of all times, you know, there's always a reason, right? Originally, it was 15 days to flatten the curve 260 days ago. You remember that? It's always something. Something's coming. Something leads to the next thing always. And now this is what you're going to hear. I've only heard it twice. But you know how you can start? They do a lot of supercuts of this stuff on YouTube. You can listen to the mainstream media and all of the experts getting on the same page. Bombshell report, walls closing in, you know, whatever it is. Killing grandma. You just want to see people die because you won't go along with all of the COVID restrictions? This is the new one. Now that we have these vaccines laughingly coming out and telling us they're 90% effective. Now it's 95%. Boy, the next one, to make the stock pop, I got to tell you, Pfizer, I don't know if you're an investor in Pfizer. Of course, their stock popped the other day. They came out and said their vaccine was 90% effective. But you got to store it at like, what is it, like negative 80 Fahrenheit to store this thing? Now, I don't know the testing of this stuff. Look, I'm suspicious of it all, but I just imagine them in the boardroom of Moderna just going, oh, we can beat that, can't we? We can do ours in regular refrigeration, and let's call it 95% effective. Yeah, that'll win, and that's exactly what they did. If you're an investor in Pfizer, I mean, who wants to deal with a negative 80-degree thing? You know, sometimes you can get food. You can tell. I can tell with beer if it's gotten warm somewhere in transit. Some of the beer brands make a big deal. They're cold brewed and they stay cold the whole way, and then they go into the stores and they stay refrigerated. But, you know, sometimes you get beer, or if you've had some, you've taken it out to a picnic, you left it out a little too long, it got warm, and then you cooled it down again. You know, but I don't. That's a beer. What happens to one of these vaccines that didn't stay at negative 80 degrees Fahrenheit? What are the logistics of distributing something at negative 80 degrees? I know, I've heard dry ice. Have you ever worked with dry ice before? I have. In some shipping things. Yeah. Sometimes it, yeah, you know, works, doesn't work. You can inject something in. I'd like to see chain of custody, please, from the manufacturer up to now that shows me that you never let this dang thing warm up, because if it's so unstable that it has to be at negative 80 degrees Fahrenheit, that seems a little risky to me. I got to tell you, there's a lot of people out there not real competent in taking something from one place to another. To rely on them to make sure they maintain a negative 80 degrees, not an easy sell. Moderna says, oh, you just stick ours in the fridge. You can put it in a cooler. Get you a Yeti. So the next whoever comes out with the next vaccine has got to say, oh, ours is room temperature. And it's 97% effective. That's what will be next. We'll just have to see. Again, there's a lot of people who very close to the Trump administration, been really very supportive and loyal. I hope, you know, again, I'm not on the inside of that stuff. I'm not a, I voted for Donald Trump in 2016, but I'm not a big Trump supporter. I'm disappointed with him, but that puts me on the outside of everybody else. If you're a true loyalist, I hope he's sending out stock tips to people. Because, boy, there have been opportunities during 2020 like I've never seen to catch some rising stocks. So maybe you'll get a heads up. Maybe with some of the fundraising letters that they send out, they also include a stock tip. That would be really genius, wouldn't it? Send out a fundraising letter and say, hey, we'd really like you to chip in for this, you know, for election investigations or for court battles, for the next term, for whatever it is that they're, I know they're doing a lot of fundraising right now. And, you know, at the very end of it, they should just say, and hey, just a wink, wink, on the 22nd or before the 22nd, you may want to be involved, you know, may want to have a little bit of money in Merck. Or maybe they make you make a donation. Hey, chip in, send us $20, and we'll send you a little something, something on the way of a stock tip. That's a winner right there for fundraising. Anyway, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on vaccines, but what I want to call people's attention to is this new narrative. This is what's going to come out. This is what's going to justify the new round of lockdowns and extreme measures. It is, yes, this is extreme. We've got to lock you down again. We've got to close businesses. We've got to go to takeout. We've got to force you to wear a mask from the moment you wake up in the morning until the moment you lay your head on the pillow. And at that point, you need to make sure that you're not facing your partner in bed. Anybody got plexiglass running up and down their beds? I think that's next. I know some couples that plexiglass running up and down the bed would probably be a positive in a whole lot of different. Just some level of separation between the two might actually work. But they're going to use all the new draconian stuff by saying this. We're almost there. Hang in there. It's just a few more months until this vaccine rolls out. This is the last time we're going to ask you to do these things, but we can't risk it. And, of course, it's going to be right around holiday time. You got to feel like there's somebody in room somewhere just kind of laughing and just, you know, back in maybe May or June, they were saying things like, you think we can keep this going all year? And someone went, no way. They're not going to put up with it all year. And the other guy goes, I got $100. Says we can cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas. No, I'll take that. You're not going to milk the American people won't stand for being bossed around and micromanaged for an entire year. And the other guy, just the smart guy in the room, goes, oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. Watch this. Hold my beer. And they sure have done it. So this is going to be the new narrative. You can just you can bank on it right now. We're so close to the vaccine. We can't risk any outbreaks now. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, this is Buddy.
Hey, Buddy.
You know, this whole thing now, I guess I see a conspiracy behind every tree. But this is a control issue. If you will go back about 4 weeks and the Prime Minister of Canada said this was a opportunity for a reset.
Oh, yeah, the reset. Yep.
And, look, they've got us to wear masks, not me. They've got us to stay in our houses. They've destroyed more lives than COVID will ever kill.
Absolutely.
And if you get off any media and go to websites that are truthful, go to the CDC website, you got less than 1% chance of dying from the COVID.
Now, that's the craziest thing, is that the truth about this stuff is right out in plain sight. On official sites, you know, the CDC will have papers on their site that say masks don't work. None of these things are effective against these things, and yet it doesn't even matter. It just is ignored.
The CDC will tell you, if you'll dig real deep, that we need to go to a herd mentality and a thinning of the herd. Let it take its natural course. It will kill off those that are the weakest. Now, the only thing that I have, I am 71 years old, but I have kept my health, and looking at that, and I've talked to my doctor recently. I have a doctor for people my age. We don't say geriatric doctor. But he says that in actuality, I have about a 6% chance of contracting COVID.
So is he, is your doctor concerned? Is he down with all of the protocols, the lockdowns, the social distancing, the masking?
Well, do you ever say, you see Jameson, don't you?
Yeah.
Ask him about my, tell him this is Buddy, his friend. Ask him about my alter ego. And my alter ego is not afraid. I have one of those secret identities.
Ah.
but I am, look, what has got me, we've destroyed kids. I had a kid the other day that I know well, and she's 6 years old. She's in the first grade. And she came up to me, and I always hug her and love her when I see her. And she sort of stood back, and then she hugged me, and she says, I'm not wearing this mask to protect you, me from you. She says, I'm protecting you because I'm a carrier.
Oh,
a six-year-old.
She's a a flawed biological disease vector. That's all we are. We're just an assemblage of germs.
You know, these kids have become wet lepers, and you know there's a difference between wet leprosy and dry leprosy. And it is, I'm going to tell you what, it's an abomination.
It is.
I mean, if I get it, I'm going to die or I'm going to live. Now, I do take reasonable precautions. I have been taking the minerals and the vitamins that they say is a preventative.
There you go.
For, you know, 20 years.
Yeah. Yep,
and
me too.
I have one health condition that is an injury. I had an injury to one leg, and I got a deep vein thrombosis. Therefore, I take a mild blood thinner. And that is, I understand, is also a preventative for the clotting that's in the lungs of COVID patients.
Yeah,
so,
well.
You know, look, I'm on live my life to the fullest, and I was born, I believe, with a expiration date someplace that I can't see it, but God can. And when I die, I'm going to die. And the one thing that I want everybody to know, if it gets me, I'm living my life. I'm running 90 miles an hour with my hair on fire. I'm not cowering under the bed in fear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it goes for this and everything else. As I've always said, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. So that's pretty much what they're trying to get us to do, is live by rules and permissions.
I don't get the call much, but you do a good job. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call. Thanks so much. All right. Yeah, we're transforming. They're trying to get us into a life of where we live and operate in society by permissions and obeying certain rules, and they've got it down to etiquette. And Buddy's right on that poor little girl. What they've done is really turned one of the best parts of human nature against us. They've weaponized compassion. This has happened in a lot of different areas. It's very alive in the woke movement. Got a lot of people out there doing some crazy things in the name of trying to protect minorities or these kinds of things. But when it comes to COVID, they've weaponized this good part of human nature, is that which is, we, most of us, do not want to harm another person. We want to be considerate. We want to do things to help other people. And they've taken that and they've weaponized it. They've used it against us, as that if you don't obey the rules, you're a bad member of society. You're inconsiderate because you're all just a bunch of carriers running around killing old people if you don't mask up and do what we say. They've weaponized this good thing about human beings. And that is a very, it's diabolical, actually. It's very hard to combat. Because I'm somebody who's very compassionate, who's certainly always tries to, you know, think about other people. I want to do right by other people. I think, you know, my main job with being a parent was just to raise a couple of good human beings. They may be wildly financially successful. They may accomplish great things. But my first rule, my first goal with my children was to put out good human beings that treated other people well. And that's, I think it's an important thing. They've weaponized it against us to where now if you don't go along with everything they say, that you're somehow a bad person. You're putting other people at risk. Just living your life as you want to is a danger to everybody else. This is the new the new tact they've taken, it's very difficult to fight, too. It's genius if this was the original plan, or if it's just morphed into that. I'm not sure, but whew, this is a toughie. We'll see if we come out the other side. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I'm going to address, if you're listening to this on the podcast, they just did a news. You can get the podcast at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on TuneIn, or I don't know where else the thing is, but if you miss the show, want to catch it, or hear. If you want to hear about the Great Reset from Klaus Schwab, Dr. Evil, next hour, and you can't stick around, get the podcast. But the news break just now, just did an interview with a nurse who said there's people who are dying and they're on death's bed. They are about to pass away, but they're saying, "What's happening? I'm not sick." Now, I got to tell you, I don't believe that account of the story in the first place. But this is one of the big things that I see in society right now, too, is the black and white nature of every single issue. There's very little nuance left in anything anymore. People feel the need to take the most extreme side of every issue. And there's no room to learn anything new. There's no room to ease into understanding any issue. It is either COVID is the apocalypse, and if you don't do everything that Dr. Anthony Fauci says, you are borderline a criminal. You're a biological terrorist if you don't do it. A lot of people are in that camp. Then there's the camp of this is a hoax. There is no COVID. Well, I don't know the science. I've seen this. Well, they can't even isolate it, all this stuff. Look, there's something going around. I've known some people who've gotten sick. There was a virus that went around that was specifically worse in 1958. It kind of came back in different mutations over the course of about 10 years and then culminated in 1969 where it took out around 120,000 people. These things happen. So this is a virus and probably had a lab manipulated at some point. Again, that's why my anger is never for my other fellow human beings out here just trying to live our lives. It looks up at the Faucis of the world. That's where my anger is focused. But there are diseases that come and go on planet Earth constantly. And so you don't have to believe, that Fauci represents all true science and the buck stops with him. And if you don't do what he says, then you're a biological terrorist. And there's also the other side that says this is a hoax. There's absolutely nothing happening. I don't believe that that's true either. But there is room in the middle to say, yes, there is a disease that exists, but we've handled these things before. I look to our medical experts to give us what they think are best practices, and then I'm a free-thinking human being and a free American, and I will exercise the caution that I think is warranted for my life. And see, what happens is, you adjust. It's just they don't give us the room for that anymore. It's all top-down stuff. Anyway, I wanted to get today to a little bit of election stuff. You know, and I could do the rest of this show and probably the rest of this week on stories about the irregularities in voting, the obvious fraud. Project Veritas has got a new video out with a whistleblower. Sidney Powell has got a lot of clips I could play about the way they're going to challenge the elections, all the things that are wrong with Dominion. I'm actually going to play a report here in just a second. It was a report done a week before the election. It's very interesting to see that we've had questions about the voting systems for 4 years from the Democrats until they get the result they want, and suddenly the elections are pristine, no problems, nothing more to see here. But that's really the same with everybody. Look. Do we think there was no cheating going on? I know the theory. Well, there was some cheating going on in 2016, but the Trump support was so overwhelming they just didn't cheat enough to take that election. To that, I say, well, then why in the hell did the Trump administration not spend the last 4 years tightening up voting in this country? And I guess I'll get to this before I even play the clip. Here's the problem as I see it with the elections. The reason I'm not going to spend all day today and every day for the rest of the week or the month or however long it takes to sort this stuff out is because I don't think anything's going to happen. I think to the people who run elections, fraud is a feature, not a bug. It's really the only explanation to why I've heard for 30 years about cheating in elections and nothing ever gets done about it. Quite obviously, we've found ourselves in a situation where it's just steadily getting worse. So obviously, the people who run elections don't want free and fair and transparent elections. That's quite obvious. And that's been going on for 30 years. And if we believe there was cheating, again, I say, Donald Trump has been talking about rigged elections for about a year now with the mail-in ballots and things. He's been in office for 4 years. Maybe that should have been one of the top issues. What if, I'm just floating an idea out here, what if we didn't cause ourselves so much concern with Iran and Venezuela and instead spent that time actually coming up with some standards for American voting? But here's the problem. There is no group of players in U.S. politics that we can really trust to fix voting issues. Now, if you ask me who's more honest in voting, the Republicans or the Democrats, I would say the Republicans probably. Republicans are just more smooth. They're more white-collar criminals, you know? But they do their things, too. They'll do gerrymandering. They'll certainly pull things, but it feels like the Democrats are really the ones that just shove ballot boxes and... But do I have any doubt that someone in the Bush administration would not use a Diebold machine back when Diebold was around? There was a lot of talk back then about, you know, election fraud, and apparently the Bush administration didn't do anything about it. They ushered in this wave of electronic voting. So if Republicans have been in charge in either states or at the federal level and have allowed electronic voting, with all of the whistleblowers that have been out there now for decades saying, hey, hold on, these things are not secure, but Republicans have rolled these things out, I believe there's a reason for that. There's not a lot to point to in Republican cheating in 2020, but there's a reason that the Bush administration liked to push us towards Diebold voting machines. I don't know exactly what it was, but to think that only one side is dirty in this thing is, I think, a little bit naive. So there's nobody out there really that we can look to. It's kind of like the vaccine. You know, here's what a lot of people will say about the vaccine. Well, I'll take it when I see, you know, X, Y, or Z, some national politician or bureaucrat. If I see Anthony Fauci take it on Good Morning America, maybe I'll consider it. Is there anybody out there that would trust if you saw anybody from Donald Trump to Fauci to Nancy Pelosi to Chuck Schumer to some Hollywood star with great sway? The Rock. Is there anybody out there who believes that you would trust seeing a needle go into someone's arm on national TV and you wouldn't question, I wonder if that's actually the vaccine? I mean, there's just no way to know. I don't think there is a way that they could prove chain of custody on an experimental vaccine going into the arm of some so-called, air quotes here in the studio, leader of us that I would trust. I wouldn't trust the doctor who signed off on it. I wouldn't trust the nurse on television. I wouldn't trust the politician. There is no integrity in our system at the upper levels. And it's the same for voting. It seems to me there should be some kind of national standard for voting systems. Now, I'm a states' rights guy. I'm a libertarian. I don't like the federal government. But for national elections, it seems like there should be some level of a level playing field going forward, yet there's been nothing put out there over decades where fraud has been, I mean, and fraud has been exposed in the past. We've seen horribly crooked elections in places like Chicago. I think Louisiana had some problems. You know, some kind of boss hogs that just never seemed to leave office. But over decades, they've never done anything. And now we find ourselves in this spot because nobody in power wants to fix these things. You have to understand, it's like they don't, nobody wants to win the war on drugs. The money in the war on drugs is made on the incarceration. It's made on the war on drugs itself. It's made in the pharmaceutical industries who keep natural competition out. They don't want to win the war on terror. The reason it's a war on terror is because it's endless. See, politicians derive power from the struggle. From the more chaotic things get, the more power they get. And that's why they don't want to fix things. But you would think that the United States, are we not supposedly like the pinnacle of innovation in the world? Are we not kind of known to be creative and problem solvers? Got some of the most incredible innovations, and supposedly we historically have had some level of freedom as entrepreneurs to pursue answers to things, but yet somehow we just can't quite figure out voting. And the bigger we get and the bigger elections get and the more serious they seem to be, the voting gets worse and worse and worse. We've gone from hanging chads to we don't even know what's going on right now. Vote flipping, ballot stuffing, ballots thrown in the trash. And the Project Veritas thing, the accusation is, I'm not going to play the clip, it's not a great audio, but the accusation is it was a guy who was at the Georgia recounts, and he was watching a woman who's doing the recounts, and apparently they call out who each one is for as they go through the she'd say, this is for Biden, and then hands it to somebody that's supposed to check. Some of the people are actually looking to verify. Some of them are just stacking up, but the person behind it went, no, wait, this is for Trump. And this particular whistleblower saw one woman within 3 minutes call three votes for Biden that were actually for Trump. And what's so gross about our political system, and this happens on both sides of the aisles, is that politicians and politics turn average, ordinary, probably largely decent human beings into corrupt criminals. And I think about that story of Project Veritas, and I think, what is this Democrat woman that is trying to steal a few votes? I mean, I don't know how many ballots she could possibly count, just she herself. Maybe she flips 200 votes over the course of a day or 2 days for Joe Biden from Donald Trump. What does she think she's getting for that? This is the sway that the political parties have exercised on all of us, and it's the same for Trump supporters. You believe you're really going to, if my guy wins, I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that my guy wins because they're going to make my life better. And the spoiler on this show every day is they're not. They're not going to fix anything in your life. They're doing nothing but exercising undue control over you. And if you look at the course of our country, things are not getting better. We've given them the chances, and Trump is just another one of those. Hey, caller, you on the air with me?
Yeah, I just got a question. Why is who you voted for supposed to be so secret? I know in some countries you have to dip your thumb or whatever in a color,
yeah,
to represent who you voted for. I'm proud I voted for Trump. I wouldn't mind walking around with a red thumb for a week to prove what I did. That way I can see, look around and see, you know, there's a whole bunch of red thumbs around here. I wonder why my state is blue.
Well, actually, I think even in the countries where you dip your finger in, you don't get a color based on who you voted for. It is just a marker to say you've already voted, so you can't flip around and get back in line again.
Well, I understand that. What I'm just saying is, why not just go ahead and make it a color?
Well, I think a secret ballot does allow. There's probably a whole lot of people out there that do not want. There's probably a lot of people out there that travel in Democrat circles. All their buddies are Democrats. Everybody at their office is a Democrat. But at home, they know, boy, the Democrats have gone off the rails. I'm voting for Trump. And they don't want to have to go face the heat when they get back there. I mean, I don't think the problem is necessarily the secret ballot. The problem is the people that are in charge of it. I mean, they just won't do an honest election.
I fully agree with that.
Yeah, we got
a great show.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the call. Yeah, we've got a mess, and that, this is one of those things. I'll tell you a whole lot of solutions on this show. Most of them revolve around starving out big political power and just self-congregating and being responsible for our own lives, the less government, the better. Unfortunately, we are on a trajectory of more and more and more and more and more government with this voting stuff. This is a difficult one. There is no, I can't, and maybe you can help me out. I can't think of a group that could just have sacrosanct trust of running elections that we just know that nobody can get to them. They can't be bought. They can't be coerced. They don't have ulterior motives. I mean, this is where we are. And when you've got a country that cannot do an election, I don't know. It does not bode well for going forward. I mean, the next 4 years, regardless of what happens at this point, this is worst case scenario we're going through right now. Regardless of what happens in the next 4 years, it's going to be chaos and hatred for 4 years, regardless of who sits in the White House. I'll be right back. All night
with the King. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we only got about a minute here. We'll look at elections on the other side of this. You can call in next hour. But I'm just going to say this, too. There's a real possibility. This just may be karma. Our elections may be karma. A listener sent me yesterday, John sent me a video yesterday of a like an Antifa, a leftist that pulled up in their car around some Trump supporters. I think it was in D.C. Spit at them, tried to grab a flag out of their hands. Just a real jackass. And as they left, as the Trump supporters kind of fought back, pulled the flag back and stuff, this guy laid on the gas and went about 20 feet and smashed into a light pole. Karma. It is. I got to tell you, I don't like the hatred between different people, but if you act like a jackass, you deserve something like that. I mean, it basically totals his car right there, and he's only 20 feet from the people he just tried to start a fight with and spit at. So sometimes there is some instant karma. It's I've got to say, it's kind of a beautiful video. But we have been messing with other countries' elections for about 70 years now. We overthrew the government of Iran back in 1953. We just went in and took out a very, very popular president. A populist leader in Iran in 1953, Operation Ajax, Mossadegh. We just took him out because he wasn't doing what we wanted to and sent their country into 25 years of tyranny under a strongman. This feels like a little bit of karma. I mean, it's on us. We should have been paying attention to this. We should have fixed this at some point. But I got to tell you, this feels to me like the chickens have come home to roost a little bit.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm about to get into the arch villain, Dr. Evil, Klaus Schwab, and his great reset, what he envisions for mankind. I got to tell you, it feels like we are living in some kind of a movie at this point. But I've got to react again to this local news stuff. I just heard, they just replayed the story of the woman who says people are dying and refusing to admit that COVID is even really a thing. I find that so hard to believe, but people are weird. Maybe it's a possibility. But they also interviewed another nurse that said, this is so avoidable if we would just take some simple precautions. This is driving me a little bit crazy, I must say. The COVID hysterics the true believers in this idea that we must sacrifice everything for safety act like we just haven't been listening to the health people. Like Americans have started, instead of hugging, French kissing when they see somebody on the streets. I don't know about you, but in the world that I travel in, and admittedly, it's gotten smaller over the past year. I choose to just avoid places where everybody has gone nutso on masks and social distancing. The stores with all their little circles on the floor. It's almost like we're playing the game Lava, you know, when you're a little child. The floor's lava. You got to get on the couch cushions. You got to jump from the chair. You know, don't touch the floor. It's lava. That's basically what the retailers are doing to us now. Stand in your circle. When you're in the bank, stand on your circle, slave. But they act like we haven't been doing anything, like we've just been ignoring everything. I would say there are only about 10% of us out there, maybe it's smaller than that, that truly just won't wear a mask. Now, I'm not even of those. If I go into a private business and I have to go and they force me to wear a mask, I put a mask on. I don't really know another way to do it without invoking some hostility between me and another human being. I think it's ridiculous. I've said to somebody the other day, I'm getting a little snippy about it. Somebody said to me the other day, have you got your mask? It's kind of like a teacher at school. Hey, where's your mask? And I basically said, oh, Lord, are we still doing this? And they said, yeah, put your mask on. And I said, you know they don't work, right? Well, I disagree with that. They didn't want to engage in a conversation. And it's to the point where I feel like I need to keep a file folder with me with all of the stuff from the CDC, the WHO, medical doctors around the country, audio files that I've played on this show. All this evidence that shows that these masks, including the box themselves that say, warning, this does not protect you against COVID-19. I feel like I should carry that around with me. I don't think I can put it all on a T-shirt that I could just wear around. But this idea that we are being so irresponsible, we just won't do what we're told. Fauci said this the other day. I don't have the clip, but he basically said, we live in this country where people have this harebrained idea of personal freedom and they don't like being bossed around. All I can say to them is now is the time to do what you're told. But it's this idea from these people who think, oh, it's just the people are just a bunch of rubes and they just won't do what we say. And that's why we've got a problem. No, you've got a problem because the masks don't work. And social distancing doesn't work. 6 feet is arbitrary, as is 25% in a restaurant. If your restaurant holds 100 people, 25 people in that restaurant is not materially different than 32 people in that restaurant. Lockdowns don't work. Masks don't work. That's why we still got a problem in your eyes. And then don't get me started on the testing. The testing that is so wildly inaccurate. It means absolutely nothing. But the condescension that we're just a bunch of rubes and we're the cause of all the problems. They've given us all this. They've told us how to fight this thing. There are people dying out there, getting sick, who wear masks from sun up to sundown like good citizens. And they still get this thing. So I wish that some of the health authorities and the medical people would just drop a little bit of their, climb down a tiny bit off their high horse and realize that we have been jumping through hoops for them for 9 months. And from what you're telling us, it's getting worse anyway. So maybe, I kind of like to use that voice right back at him. Maybe what you're telling us isn't working. Maybe the lockdowns don't work. Maybe the masks don't work. Maybe humans have been coexisting with viruses for tens, hundreds of thousands of years. It's, the funny thing is I do get more company with things like this. I'm a bit of a radical. Like I've got a pretty radical view of freedom in the drug war. No taxation, no federal taxation. Like I take it pretty seriously. You know, this idea that politicians, that our government's too big and too nosy. It shouldn't be in our schools. They've done a terrible job. It shouldn't be in our health care, another terrible job. It can't mail things for us, by and large, although I've had better luck with the mail system. Mail's not my biggest concern, but anyway. But I do get some more company on this stuff because I feel a lot of people seeing this stuff too, and they just think, this is insane what we're doing. What are we doing? This is how I've felt for years about things like 9/11. I mean, it was widely known, and I don't mean to digress here, but just so you can kind of get in my headspace of what you're experiencing, this idea of looking around and just saying, what are we doing? Why is nobody stopping this? Well, this is how I was with, and 9/11 is not the only thing, but 9/11 is widely known that the Saudi Arabian government sponsored and funded the terrorists on 9/11, yet they're our buddies. We didn't take any actions against them, but for some reason we're targeting Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and Venezuela and Yemen. And I look around and just go, what is the possible sense of this? And I had a caller last week. He doesn't have a problem with Saudi Arabia. He said, well, that was 20 years ago. I mean, we've never said a cross word to Saudi Arabia. And as I recall, 9/11 was a pretty big deal. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've made too much about 9/11. Maybe nobody else really cared about it. It was just, boy, that kind of sucked. And you moved on. It felt to me like it was a nation-altering, history-altering thing that happened. Yet the perpetrators, we don't say even a cross word to them. As a matter of fact, we sell them weapons while we invade and topple governments that did absolutely nothing to us. Yet people are on board with that, and so that's the world that I see, too, with these things. And you just go, why? How in the hell is everybody going along with this? But they do. So it's good to have the company to see this absolutely insane world. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back to talking about insane. I mean, but the funny thing is, as I'm saying these things out loud, I'm going to play and read some of these things out of this Klaus Schwab. He's got a book out. He's the head of the World Economic Forum, and he's talking about the Great Reset. When I tell you these things right now, you'll think, no way, that's crazy talk. But can't you kind of, in the back of your head, just start to think, man, we might go along with that? It doesn't matter how crazy it sounds to us right now. There's a possibility that just a minute, if they roll it out, if one of the political parties or some leadership does and the police enforce it, we'll just accept this kind of stuff going forward. If we don't put our foot down somewhere, we won't put it down on the wars. We won't end the war on drugs. We won't stop the endless federal spending. We haven't ever broken apart the lobbying class in Washington, D.C. We can't fix our education system. And now we're running around with a bunch of face diapers on. If we're not putting our foot down on any of those things, then what I'm about to read you from Klaus Schwab and some audio of him, too, you start to think this just may be our fate. Should I quit resisting? Dig a hole somewhere and just live my life somewhere? It's unbelievable how far we have. And this is, I have to remind myself, people have gone along with stupid things all along. I mean, you had the Romans and the gladiators. They used to love to get into stadiums and watch people kill each other. Now, this is not really new to human beings. It just feels to me at this particular time in the year 2020, 2,000 years removed from the Romans, that maybe we should have caught a clue, that we would be evolved intellectually to some degree with all the access to information that we have. We can see what works and doesn't work. We know what other countries are up to. We can see so many things. You would think that we would evolve intellectually. It just seems like we're not. We're standing still as a species or going backwards. Really, depending. I'm not a historian. People have done crazy things all along. And I guess the reason I'm concerned about it is I didn't live back then. I live now. So I'll play this stuff from Klaus Schwab. Maybe I'll start calling him the Schwab. And you tell me. You think we would resist some of this craziness? I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I was talking to a friend the other day about children. I've got two. Getting to be adults now. They're 19. They're twins. And I love them. And not only do I love my children, I actually like them. That comes in handy, I got to tell you. You know, when you got to spend money on them. And it's nice to actually like your children. So you feel kind of good about, you know, setting them up and helping them along the way. Good, you know, good human beings. Thank goodness for that. But boy, do they put a lot of burden on you. Because a lot of the stuff that I talk about on this show, it's not that I wouldn't care about it, but I wouldn't have that vested interest in the future, for good or bad. I mean, I want the best for everybody's children going forward, but children just cause you all this grief. It causes you so much worry, and this is one of those things where I think, you know, one of the reasons I do what I do to try to bring up other topics to make people think differently about certain things is that my kids got to take over this world. Look, I'm not even scared of death. If I move on at some point, that's just not really me. I'm not somebody who's going to cling on to every year. I've got 53 years, a really good run, a lot of fun, a lot of interesting, a lot of opportunities, all those good things. But man, we got to hand this stuff off to our children. It's why the debt bothers me so much. You think I'd really care about the collapse of the United States if I didn't think my children had to inherit it? I mean, I may make it out before it happens. Who knows? It could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 20 years. It's going to happen sometime in that horizon, but I don't need much, but it's the kids. I tell you, kids, and you know, the thing is, your kids can't appreciate what they put you through until they actually have kids of their own, so I'm just understanding now what my children actually had to go through. So this globalism stuff, now I'm going to say this on the front of this because what we're going through now, what most people are invested is they've got to see Donald Trump. They've got to overturn this election, expose the fraud, get Trump back into the White House. The problem I have with the average Trump supporters, I think you've let your guard down to a great degree. Do you know that Donald Trump did not come up with the phrase drain the swamp? He didn't actually even like it originally, but the crowd reacted to it, so he kept saying it. He said this publicly in an interview. I don't think Trump has the core beliefs and commitments that you think he does. It seems to me that a lot of the Donald Trump presidency has convinced people that are more freedom-based to stand down, largely. Trump did not come up with build the wall. That was a Republican PR guy who was trying to figure out how to get traction for Donald Trump in a crowded field. Presented him with, what if you said you were going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it? And he liked that one. He said, yeah, let's go with that. I am suspicious that when we talk about this great reset and the globalist and build back better, all these slogans that are going on, and when I read this stuff to you from the people in charge of this stuff, I'll explain why I'm so nervous about it. I have not heard Donald Trump one time utter the words, the great reset. We must resist the great reset. I have not heard him say one time, hey, Joe Biden's using a UN slogan, build back better. We need to be on guard. That's a globalist slogan over there. He's not ever mentioned that. Trump has gone to Davos. Now, he gave a very nationalistic speech, but his daughter, Ivanka, and Jared, they're globalists. And up until a few months ago, they were Democrat globalists. And the vast majority of Trump supporters want them to be president at some point. You want a Trump dynasty. So if the election is, the voting is all sorted out and Trump has returned to his throne in the White House, I got to tell you, I don't have any confidence that he somehow single-handedly stops this stuff in his tracks. I spent yesterday asking, why is he going along with the Bill Gates vaccine program? Anyway, so I bring this up regardless of who our next president is. And let me also say, look, if Biden's president, this stuff is, we got to be ready to resist this stuff, because Biden is definitely just a corrupt mental patient globalist. And he's a warmonger. So don't think, again, oh, he criticized Donald Trump. I guess you'd rather have Joe Biden? I mean, just please, let's stop thinking on a fourth grade level. So listen to this. This is about this Klaus Schwab guy. Globalist Klaus Schwab made it clear that transhumanism is an integral part of the Great Reset. When he said that the fourth industrial revolution would, this is a quote from a book he wrote, quote, lead to a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity. Which in his book he clarifies is implantable microchips that can read your thoughts. This is Justin Trudeau that made headlines the other day where he talked about, well, this is a great opportunity for a reset. See, this COVID thing. I had a caller just a little while ago during one of the breaks say, you know, you think this COVID stuff was all designed to muck up the elections? No, I don't. It could be used for that. Do you remember? The reason that COVID was used to hurt Donald Trump is because it was an election year. But if you remember in 2005, they did the same thing with the reaction, with the response to Katrina to George W. Bush. It wasn't an election year. They just took an event and, of course, just blamed George Bush for a bad response. That's what politicians do. They're just scumbags. They use things. Rahm Emanuel, and never let a good crisis go to waste. But this is not about Donald Trump. COVID is not about Donald Trump. It's much bigger than that. Going back to this piece of this agenda, this Great Reset agenda is primarily based around dismantling the current capitalist system in favor of greater centralized technocrat rule, which will lead to lower living standards, less fuel consumption, fewer civil liberties, and the accelerated automation of jobs. But the key aspect of this is this fourth industrial revolution, and I want to read a little bit about that. Again, the fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity. This is actually, I like playing the clips from Klaus Schwab because you really get that James Bond villain feel when you listen to him talk. They were using a German. I think he's German. He could be Austrian or something, but, you know, he's got that Third Reich accent.
It's at the end. What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities. When I wrote the book, I started to write it four years ago. It was published 3 years ago. It was sold, very interesting, over a million times in the world. And what is interesting is that 800,000 copies, more than 800,000 copies of those 2 million were sold in three countries alone, China, Japan, and South Korea. And you may be interested, who was the biggest buyer with 16,000 copies at the same time? It was the Korean military. Because the fourth industrial revolution will have a major impact also on warfare.
That was the South Korean military. I don't know what's up with these people over there. They're supposed to be fairly free over there. I wanted to get down into some of the details on this thing. Let me see if I can find these here. Now, here it is in the book. This is Klaus Schwab again, the villain you just heard. In the book, Schwab explains with excitement how upcoming technology will allow authorities to, quote, intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior, unquote. He goes on to predict that this will provide an incentive for law enforcement to implement minority report-style pre-crime programs. Listen to this. This is a quote from his book. As capabilities in this area improve, and he's talking about hacking into our brains, as capabilities in this area improve, the temptation for law enforcement agencies and courts to use techniques to determine the likelihood of criminal activity, assess guilt, or even possibly retrieve memories directly from people's brains will increase. Now, I know this sounds like science fiction stuff, but I got to tell you, the way technology is going right now, I talked the other day, they've got this new technology where they can just beam music into your head. No headset required. They're getting access to our brains. I think they've already, they kind of opened the door with smartphones largely. How many people out there use smartphones? You pretty much outsource everything to your smartphone now. A lot of memories. You can't recall something. What do? You G-word it. You Google it immediately in the palm of your hand. This goes on to say, quote, even crossing a national border might one day involve a detailed brain scan to assess an individual's security risk. Well, I got to tell you, I don't know I would be let back in the United States with the show that I do. But these are some of the things they're looking at right now. I'll go into a little bit more of that. We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. What you got?
Well, just passing through on the highway, and I've heard off and on part of your show, and I guess I'd like to maybe partially disagree with one general statement that you made, and
yeah.
Maybe I didn't catch everything, but it, where you're talking about the difference between the parties, and that there's not a dime's worth of difference, and everybody's been cheating in elections, and this.
Well, I didn't say there wasn't a dime's worth of difference. I did say that I feel like the Democrats have been doing more of these things. I just wonder, it's just curious to me why Republicans have never actively stopped it.
Well, I'm gonna agree with you on that part, because there's been a lot of frustrations. I'm a little bit older than you are. My first election at reaching the age of 18 was for Ronald Reagan in 1980. So I've seen a lot of politics, and I think this trend you put your finger on, and I'm going to agree with, big government just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger and bigger. That is a problem. And the elections, yeah, there's always been some small dabbling here and there, maybe more than we've thought in the past.
Yeah, we really have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, or at least my viewpoint on it is, there's so much corrupt and evil going on because of the large government and just the scope of it. There's so many things. You just can't, the regular people, like normal, I think of them, normal Americans.
Yeah, right.
Kurt Schlichter uses that term, just normal Americans. It doesn't mean Trump supporter or Trump voter necessarily, but normal Americans just can't keep up with it.
Yeah,
and many people are not inclined to pay attention until it's been shoved in their face, and maybe it has to be shoved in their face so much that they, like, wake up. I think that's what Trump has been good for. He's like, you know, he's not a politician, and he's not really an ideologue. You were a little bit pointing at, well, he didn't come up with this saying, he didn't come up with that, he didn't have a policy. I didn't vote for him in 2016. Personally, I would have slit my throat before I voted for Hillary, because I knew what her and her people are like.
Right.
And what was her qualifications? Yeah, I killed an ambassador and a bunch of good guys over in Benghazi, and there's nothing to see here, you know. So I'm not going to vote for her. But I couldn't pull I pulled straight Republican and then undid my vote for Trump, because I just said he's been left-wing, as far as I know, in the public eye his whole life. And he's just a celebrity. He was saying some of the right things. I just didn't feel like I could trust him. My wife says, well, you know, you're not going to hell for not voting for him, but he could be the one that saves the country. Well, what I've seen in 4 years is, yeah, he made campaign promises, some of which he kept, some of which he's made motion towards, like maybe he hadn't gotten Mexico to pay for the wall, but he surely, after all the lightning that he grounded all the left and all the media and everything, he still got Mexico's Army or National Guard, their president or whatever, said, we got to stop these people traipsing all the way through our country from the south to get to the Mexican-American border so they can get in, or Trump's going to do something. And so that flood stopped. Maybe it's down to a trickle. So even if it didn't complete the wall. So my point is, we needed somebody like this who is actually a realist and a pragmatist and an outsider who did not have preconceived notions, whether it's left or right, but in particular right. He didn't have preconceived notions of how the Republicans have always done it, because, you know what? How many times have you and I, and I know for me, held my nose and voted for a Republican?
Oh, yeah.
Even though it wasn't the guy I voted for in the primary. I've never gotten anybody that I voted for in the primary, ever. And I just held my nose because, well, they're better than the other guys, okay? And yet the government keeps growing and growing. And I think it took Trump 4 years of him being literal Hitler, media lie about Russia, collusion, treason, emoluments for 2.5 years. Spend $24 million, put the best people on it, come up with nothing because there was nothing there.
Right.
And they knew about it. Well, and they immediately switch off tomorrow to Ukraine, where it's actually Biden. And so I think that this is, I believe in God. I believe in God's providence or his hand being active in the affairs of nations, and particularly in our country. And I think this is what God has used to get up the muddled masses that want to do right, but just can get confused by all the propaganda.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I do believe that during Trump's first 4 years, the left, the media in particular, goodness knows, Silicon Valley, everybody kind of came out and exposed themselves to us for sure. I mean, a lot of people probably like you and me, you know, I've known for 30 years the media was no good and that they were slanted. A lot of people that aren't engaged probably didn't know it. I mean, Trump yes. did expose a lot of people. I think my problem that I have with a lot of Trump supporters is that they believe that now it's been exposed, he's going to fix it. And I've seen nothing out of the Trump administration for 4 years that says he's going to actually implement anything. He's not going to shrink the government. He has grown the government massively. He's not going to take on the globalists to a meaningful degree. Or, I mean, maybe he will, but he has not done that because they've gotten richer during the last 4 years. We're at the fourth year of a Trump presidency. We've never been less free than we are right now. Now, people can blame that on COVID, but I have problems with Donald Trump not coming out 6 months ago and going, all right, look, we've had a chance to study this. We know what the deal is. My Justice Department stands ready to fight for any business that needs to stay open. We will not impose lockdowns. I mean, we don't have time to go through all of these things. I think it's this idea. I think you're very right on, and I've said on the show many times, there's a ton of value out of the Trump administration. Donald Trump was the first one. I've been anti-war for 15 years. And if it were not for Donald Trump, the vast majority of Republicans would still cheer every single war that Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham tried to sell them. Donald Trump made it cool to be anti-war, and for that is tremendously valuable. The problem is he didn't back that up with any actions and actually extricate us from the Middle East. And he even vetoed some things that were designed to either slow down action with Iran or get us out of Yemen, and he vetoed those things. So all of the exposure thing, I think you're right about. My problem is we can't believe that or trust that this one guy is going to go up there and fix these things. Now we see what we're dealing with. And the other thing is, too, we're never going to fix anything if we're this divided. And I think Trump, the problem is his style has killed him. I think he's got a lot of policies that are populist that would be really popular with probably 70 to 75% of the population. Not so much with me because I'm a libertarian, but that doesn't matter. I think he could have gotten vast numbers of people on his side, which would have helped him against the media, which would have helped him against the Democrats. But he made himself so darn unlikable that it made him less effective.
Well, I definitely see your point on that. And I agree with, I think if I can distill what your actual main point is he's not a one-man show. But see, that was the same thing. I was very disappointed when I voted for Reagan. I was impressed with everything that he did, except when he said, I'm going to close the Department
of Education,
U.S. Department of Education, which had only come open during Carter, I think.
Right.
And he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He couldn't. He didn't have the willpower, whatever it was. Okay. And I thought, well, that was 1980. So 40 years later, I've been long disabused that one politician or one party having control is going to make that much difference. What I do believe is that it's taken us as a nation this long to be battered about the head and shoulders with the obvious stuff that, as you said long ago, you know, the media's been crooked and been lying. They just used to cover it with the phrase objective journalism, and everybody always trusted Uncle Walter Cronkite, you
right,
know?
Right.
And he was a leftist, but they've just walking around with no clothes on, wildly saying that they're 100% in the bag for socialism / communism / government, which grows into tyranny as a natural thing.
Right.
So that I agree with that point. It's going to be the people that has to do something. It's not the politicians. It's the government's not going to solve the problem, because the government is the problem. So it doesn't matter red or blue, but it's the people. And I think Trump's been extremely effective in his simple communication way and his almost propagandist style of creating phrases that sound like a fourth grader would come up with them, but somehow it identifies in the hearts of people that have been generation after generation after generation voting blindly, however their parents, their church,
yeah,
their unions, whoever told.
Well, I agree with you. I'm about to have to take a break. I totally agree with you. The problem with that is, and I don't disagree with anything you said, the problem is he only reached and got about 25-30% of the people on board with that stuff, and the other side actually dug their heels in deeper on the other. John Kennedy was good at convincing people. Ronald Reagan was good at convincing people. Their style was serious. Ronald Reagan was self-effacing. They didn't face the hostile media that Trump has now. Trust me, I understand all of those things. We're dealing in a slightly different world. But Trump's base needed to be bigger. People who accepted his message of this is not okay, the way we've been going is not okay, needed to be bigger. Right now, we're at a time where we're so horribly divided. And I think it was just style, because, again, I think he's had ideas and policies that would have been popular. I just feel like it's a huge missed opportunity. But, look, man, I really do appreciate the call. If you come back through town, please tune us in again.
I sure will. I enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks. You have a good day. All right. Running a little long. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we're back. Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I got to take another break. I went long with that caller, but it was a good call. You know, I could spend all day, every day, talking about Donald Trump. I find it absolutely fascinating. And what you might not believe, regular listeners may not believe, I encounter in my life people who hate Donald Trump. And I ask them why. And I point out the things that he has done. If you look at what Donald Trump has actually done, the actions he's taken, for people on the left, there is almost no reason to hate him. He's done nothing that really should anger the left. He's governed as essentially a centrist to slightly left in some areas. He's given $500 billion in the Platinum Plan to the black community just most recently. He said he won't touch Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Sent out, I mean, he's done a lot of things. And so I find it fascinating, the really hardcore pro-Trump side and the really hardcore anti-Trump side. I would kind of argue with either without being belligerent, but just asking some questions about it. I find it, Trump is like a Rorschach test. You see in him what you want to see. I just think Trump's style, I'll make a simple explanation, then I got to take a break, but it's kind of like if you're in high school and the mean girls come up and they say, "We saw you talking to Tammy. We don't like Tammy. She's a nerd, she's weird, whatever." And so you want to be in with the cool kids, so you say, "Okay, well, I'm not going to hang out with Tammy." But every time you see Tammy, she's really nice. You really enjoy her. And eventually, even when the mean girls, and in this case, the mean girls would be the establishment and the media, the mean girls keep telling you, we all hate Tammy. You need to hate Tammy. She is a weirdo. She's a freak. We don't talk to her. But if you, every time you interact with Tammy, Tammy's sweet, even though you might want the approval of the mean people, eventually you just go, I don't get it. Tammy's nice. I kind of like Tammy. This happens in our own lives all the time. And Trump didn't, he didn't give us that thing that some people on the left needed to cling to, which is he's not doing anything wrong. I mean, if he, and it's his style. It's not his substance. His substance is not off-putting, I don't think, to the left. If you took off his personality and just plopped his record down in front of people, there's some things the left might not like, you know, some of his pro-life stances or, you know, taking up for the Second Amendment. They may not like that, but he didn't do anything about it. If you just looked at his record, completely unvarnished, no face, no personality on top of it, most of it would be kind of normal political stuff. Would have been no real difference. And this is going to anger some Trump supporters. It would look a little bit like the Bush administration. Yeah, the left might not like it, but they wouldn't have a visceral hate for it. And with the left going so buck wild and insane, I just think it was a missed opportunity. I think Trump could have been. I've said it since I've been on air here, and I saw the direction of the tweeting and the self-congratulatory, the braggart nature, the trolling that he did. I said, I think this is a missed opportunity. I think he could be at 60, 70% approval rating. Anyway, that's my take on that. I could talk about it all day. I find it fascinating regardless. Got to take a break. I'll be right back.
If you are considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, show's just about over. I got just a couple of minutes. I'll probably get back. The stuff with the Great Reset, I mean, this is some spooky stuff, some sci-fi dystopian future stuff, and it's at a high level. You know, a lot of things are cast as conspiracy theories, but when the head of the World Economic Forum and the whole website designed to this new future they're going to give us all, pretty hard to call it a conspiracy when they're saying these things out loud. And I remember talking about, you know, government snooping on everybody and reading your emails and listening in on your phone calls, and everybody thought, that's crazy. And I mean, I don't, it was never really a big issue of mine, but I knew that our government was too big for its own britches. But then you find out from Edward Snowden, oh yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're storing everything. I can't even comprehend of the amount of data storage that they need, but they've got that big black cube out in Utah, and apparently they're doing it. So a lot of these conspiracy theories become conspiracy fact, it seems like, more often than not these days. So big, Great Reset's not going anywhere. Build Back Better, particularly if you have a President Biden, you'll have the resistance here every single day if we have a Biden presidency. But I know most people are thinking that's not going to take place. We'll see what happens there. But what I would love to do as far as the Trump issue, I'd like to get a diehard Trump supporter and a diehard Trump hater in here for a show, a two-hour show. Just to talk and ask questions. Problem is finding people who could just sit and discuss it. So look at it, because I've got questions for both. I don't understand the love. I don't understand the hate. I don't understand any of it. I think that the truth, and it happens a lot of times, is somewhere in the middle. Now, what I'd really like to do is get people that are so hyper-partisan after all these years, and particularly now, to on a couch. I wish I could. I just want to get inside the mind of people who would fall in love with a Donald Trump or think he's Hitler, because I think both are equally delusional. That's going to offend some people. I understand that, but it's just this streak in me. I don't fall in love with politicians anymore. The most affinity I have for any politician on the national level is Ron Paul. But I'm sitting on a hair trigger for Ron Paul to do something that I disagree with, because I'll call it out. Because I like vast majority of what Ron Paul says. He's one of the most consistent people out there, and he's really one of the ones that kind of woke me up. But I'm not in love with him where if he changes his mind on some stuff, takes another tact, that I won't call it out in a heartbeat, because I have been burned before. I tell you, I'm like that jilted lover. I fell in love with politicians before. Boy, I thought Trent Lott hung the moon. What a stud, I would say, when I watched the Sunday morning programs with my wife at the time. I'd see Trent Lott. Ah, that guy's a stud. He'd go on and do his Republican talking points, and I would watch him on Fox News Sunday mornings. And I thought I was full of knowledge, and they were really going to, you know, contract with America was some of the stuff they were talking about back then. I got burned. I didn't know they didn't actually realize they didn't actually mean it. So I'm much more resistant. I've been hurt. I've been hurt before. Anyway, that's about all the time I got today. Have a great day. We'll take this up tomorrow. And tomorrow's Hump Day Health. Tune in for something empowering for your own health. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, the rest of the WYAB programming. See you later. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.